TikTok, TikTok. Now we're running a poll on it. Who do you trust least? TikTok, Meta, that is, of course, Facebook, or X, that is, of course, Elon Musk. It's rather a low poll at the minute. 19,000 people have voted, and I've only just mentioned it, but extraordinarily perspicacious, because it turns out in our poll of getting on for 20,000 people, the public trust TikTok the most of these three big platforms, social media giants. That'll be why TikTok is the one that's getting the boot, at least from the United States. Though what happens in the United States very frequently crosses the Atlantic with increased rapidity. So who knows who'll be next to ban TikTok? Well, I'm actually sitting in the British Parliament right now, and guess what? TikTok is banned in the British Parliament. I can get Twitter, I can get Meta, Facebook, Instagram, any of these things. In fact, there are things that I could get that I don't want to get, but which are sent to me anonymously by X, for example. I get nudes in bio, sex bots all day, every day here in the British Parliament, but I can't get TikTok. That's because China is now officially an enemy. I can't go into it too deeply because it's a live trial, but two members of staff in this very building, not my members of staff employed by leading conservative critics of mine who are never done telling me that I'm a traitor, those two members of staff of Conservative MPs have been arrested and charged with spying for China, which is described in the indictment as an enemy, about which more later. The truth is, TikTok is being banned not actually because it's Chinese. TikTok is being banned because the Israel lobby in the United States has placed on record that we have a TikTok problem. What they really mean is we have a young people's problem. Young people in overwhelming number all over the United States, including young Jewish people in unvanquishable and ever-growing numbers, are a problem for the Israel lobby because there's an uprising going on in the United States amongst young people against the crimes being committed by the apartheid genocidal state of Israel. It can be seen on the campuses of America's great universities, and even now, some of its less than great, at least less than famous universities. Yale has risen up. NYU has risen up. Columbia, above all, has risen up. And the more the authorities bring in the National Guard, anti-terrorist police, I'm not making that up, the more they try to describe the protests of the students in America's universities as hate fests, even nests of terrorism, the more the young people are standing up to them. It is a truly inspiring phenomenon, last seen in the United States in 1968, when an uprising on campuses all over America began over the American war, genocidal war against the people of Vietnam. In 1968, there was another senile Democratic president by the name of Lyndon Baines Johnson, who may very well have murdered his predecessor, Jack Kennedy, in Dallas, who became the president who intensified the Vietnam War to unprecedented levels. In 1968, that senile American crook, Lyndon Baines Johnson, ordered the National Guard onto the campus at Kent State University and gunned down more than 20 people. More than 20 students were shot down, many of them killed by the National Guard on the orders of a Democratic Party president because they were protesting against an unjust genocidal war. Well, they say history doesn't repeat itself, it rhymes. That's what Joe Biden is doing right now. And in the lead up to the Democratic Party's convention, this uprising will follow him all the way to the podium. And no doubt, his goons will club them down like they did the young people protesting the Vietnam War in Chicago in 1968. The whole world is watching, the crowd chanted, as Mayor Richard Daley's thugs laid into them, fired gas at them, clubbed them down, even shot them. Well, the whole world is watching Joe genocide Biden as he does exactly the same thing in the uprising on campus. But the uprising on TikTok is, if anything, more significant, because these are not students at Ivy League universities, brave but privileged, and a small minority of America's population. On TikTok, millions upon millions are rising up to say, "Hey, Joe, where are you going with that ban in your hand? How dare you threaten to close down TikTok? We get a lot of our information from there," and therein lies the problem. There are 10 times as many videos on TikTok because there are 10 times as many people posting them in support of the beleaguered, besieged, and massacred people of Gaza than there are supporting the genocidal apartheid state of Israel. Well, you'd expect that, wouldn't you? How many supporters do you really think that Netanyahu has outside of Israel for these massacres? Well, not many on TikTok, that's for sure. And that's why Joe Biden today in the Oval Office committed an act of international piracy. He held a gun at the head of the American company that owns TikTok in America and said, "Sell. Sell to someone we approve of, or we're closing you down." That's the new American law. It's freedom, you see. The land of the free. Sorry, free. It is democracy, don't you know, in America. And democracy in the United Kingdom isn't much better. Little Rishi Sunak was in Berlin today. Must have been quite a task for people to work out which was the more diminutive of the two rulers on view. Little Soldier Schultz or little Rishi Sunak, who's taken, by the way, I can confirm, having stood right next to him in the corridor in Westminster last week, taken to wearing elevator heels. I don't know if Schultz did. I don't know if they had a measuring contest of who had the biggest elevator heels. But the two of them were acting big. The two of them were strutting around planning a European army. The very thing that they said during the Brexit referendum was swivel-eyed lunacy to suggest that's what they were planning. They are now going to have a European army. And though Britain is not in the EU because its people decided to leave it, we're going to be in the EU's army. And moreover, we're going to lead that army, don't you know? It's like going back to Waterloo in 1815. Us and General Blücher are going to make sure that Johnny Frenchman doesn't establish a leading role in that European army. Us and the Germans are going to take the lead. In order to persuade us of the wisdom of that, the government sent little Grant Shapps. How many of these miniatures do the Tory government have in their cabinet room? Little Grant Shapps, as he's now known, he used to be known by a multiplicity of names when he was pretending to be various identities in his previous business career. He was sacked ignominiously from many minor positions in the Conservative government, but now little Grant Shapps is our war leader. And what a war leader! he's going to spend, not 2% of our GDP, when France and many other, Italy, many other European countries don't spend anything like 2% of their GDP, their people demanding instead houses and hospitals, schools, better health for their people, more economic opportunity for their people. In Britain, we spend 2%. It's an ironclad consensus, you see, between Labour and the Conservatives. Let's spend as much as we can possibly get away with on weapons and war. Moreover, weapons which our own people in our own armed forces won't even see. It was made plain by little Grant Shapps today that most of the increase in expenditure, 75 billion extra per year, is going to the Ukraine. It's actually going to little Zelensky. Another midget is getting another huge tranche of the 75 billion pounds extra on top of the hundreds of billions we already spend, is going to Zelensky in a war which may well be lost by the summer holidays, judging by the pace of Russia's advances, the collapse of the Ukrainian lines. The lines of coke remain vibrant. The military lines are collapsing like a house of cards. So it may very well be that before Britain has managed to send the extra money, little Zelensky is sitting on the beach in Miami or in Tel Aviv or perhaps in both. The British government's bravado over spending even more money on weapons and war to send to Ukraine is only possible because the so-called opposition in Britain is in lockstep with little Rishi and little Grant. As the Tories pledged 2.5% of GDP on weapons and war, Labour cried out for more. Why only 2.5%? Are you really going to do it? Or is this just an announcement for show? Summed up the Labour response. Well, my take on it is this. If I went anywhere in Britain and pointed to a pothole, pointed to a derelict building, pointed to a shaky bridge, pointed to a decrepit motorway, if I went to any hospital and went into the A&E and saw the line for 12, 15 hours to be seen by a doctor, if I went to a school with crumbling infrastructure and not enough tech equipment, a field for football that resembles something that's been bombed by a warplane, and ask the parents there, should we spend this money here in this school, in this hospital, on these houses, on this motorway, on filling these potholes, or should we send it to Zelensky? I can assure you that 99% of the people would choose the former rather than the latter. But hey, that's democracy. Shamocracy, where both parties, the only two possible governments, are in such lockstep that, like the animals in George Orwell's Animal Farm, you look from man to pig and pig to man and man to pig and back again, and you cannot tell the difference. And that is exactly true also in the United States of America. Let me close on the Al-Shifa and Nasser mass graves. I might as well, because not one single British broadcaster or British newspaper has covered in more than News in Brief, and usually not in News in Brief at all, the fact that 700 corpses, many with their hands tied behind their back. Many still in scrubs. Many still in bandages with their stitches visible on their wounded stomachs have been found in mass graves. Now, for someone of my generation who remembers the sights and sounds of the Red Army's liberation of the Nazi death camps, the beast of Berlin's worst crimes, the sight of mass graves, emaciated children, the sight of lacerated, mutilated children, the sight of gaunt, starving, sick people being found in a mass grave arouses in me a passion which I can scarcely quench sufficiently not to swear into this camera right now. But somehow, the mass media in Britain is able to ignore it with absolute equanimity. They don't give a damn, won't even report it, never mind analyze it. And in the House of Commons today, the Labour leadership raised anything, everything but these mass graves, the ongoing genocide, massacre of the Palestinian civilian population, most of them women and children. They didn't even raise it. They didn't allow the word Gaza to cross their lips, and neither did a single Labour member of Parliament. It was left to a young woman, the deputy leader of the SNP, the Scottish National Party, to raise the existence of these mass graves and to compare the outrage over alleged mass graves in the Ukraine with the total silence over the mass graves in hospitals in Gaza. The deputy prime minister, because little Rishi was away standing on top of a tank to avoid looking like the prime minister he is, the deputy prime minister scolded the SNP deputy leader. How dare she compare the crimes of Russia with the crimes of a democracy in Israel? In Russia, he said, we have an authoritarian dictatorship. But a democratic country can commit genocide much more nicely, apparently. He said, we can be sure that democratic Israel will investigate any allegations of misconduct. That's how he describes dead bodies shot in the back of the head with their arms tied behind their back, still in their medical uniforms. These are allegations of misconduct. Moreover, we can be confident that democratic Israel will properly investigate them. Now, I'm going to say something very strong, which if I said downstairs in the chamber of the House of Commons, would have me removed from the building and banned for the rest of the day, if not for longer. The Deputy Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is a liar. He knows extremely well, must do. He's seen the Foreign Office legal advice that they're refusing to show the rest of us. Not only that, democratic Israel is committing war crimes, crimes against humanity, crimes which plausibly, in the words of the ICJ, can be described as genocide. He knows that. But he calls them allegations of misconduct and misleads the House of Commons, though I'm glad to say not most of the public. that any allegations of misconduct by Israel will be investigated. And if you believe that, I've got a bridge here in London I could sell you going cheap.